So exciting treatment options are becoming available now for our patients with geographic atrophy. However, safety and efficacy are of key importance when implementing and recommending new therapies. My name is Frank Holz. Welcome to the third section of the EURETINA Independent Medical Education video interview series. Dr. Ashok Khanani and I will be discussing complement-inhibiting treatment approaches as well as patient selection and management. So Ashad, how do, in your view, emerging treatments targeting the complement pathway impact GA disease progression?
So Frank, first of all, we've been very lucky to have approval of two complement inhibitors available in the U.S. as of last year, pegcetacoplan and avacincaptad pegol. And these treatments were approved based on very robust clinical trial data, Derby and Oak study from pegcetacoplan and GATHER1 and GATHER2. For avacincaptad pegol. So I think one thing we have learned is that we are slowing down these patients from progressing instead of stopping or reversing the disease. We have been very lucky to have anti-VEGF agents in our clinical practice where we actually see reversing or stabilization of the disease with continuous treatment with visual acuity improvement or stabilization. So here, you know, we have seen efficacy anywhere from 15 to 25% over time at first year, depending on the trial, and, you know, up to even 30%. And so I think overall we have a modest efficacy, but it is changing how we practice. It is slowing this devastating disease down, slowing the progression so patients can get continue to have their independence. So they really have many benefits, but obviously we have to talk about risk and benefit with every patient, and also the fact that they have a treatment burden of every month or every other month injections.
You mentioned, Ashad, in the U.S. you have approval, you have access to two different agents to treat geographic atrophy patients. We don't have yet in Europe access at all. And in your experience, how do you select patients? What would be the perfect patient where you initiate anti-complement therapy?
I think, you know, as a physician, once you have approved treatments and the label is geographic atrophy, it doesn't specify, you know, whether it's central or non-foveal or certain size. We don't have that. So we have the label. So I think it's our responsibility to offer treatment to all patients with geographic atrophy. But then you talk about the risk-benefit profile. Somebody with very advanced central, very large lesion, they may not benefit from it too much. So I think you tell the patient there's a treatment available, then talk about risk and benefit. So ideal candidate for me would be a patient with non-foveal geographic atrophy, especially the one that have lost their vision in the other eye. That would be the ideal candidate. I believe in early treatment based on the data and continuous treatment. So if I have a patient with bilateral non-foveal GA, I would recommend treatment in both eyes. Sometimes what I've seen, Frank, is that even patients with early central GA would benefit from that treatment. They feel like, you know, even though you don't see a change, they're seeing a change, or they are doing certain things with the eye with central GA. So I offer the treatment, but really the ideal patient is gearing towards non-foveal GA.
Interesting. The pivotal trials, you mentioned those, Derby Oaks, GATHER 1 and 2, there was a treatment frequency of either every month or every other month. So what do you recommend to your patients? What frequency, what intervals?
Well, I think one thing we saw in those trials, Frank, is dose-dependent rate of CNV. So I think, you know, it's a discussion with the patient. We have seen, you know, Derby and Oaks, we have monthly and every other month data for 2 years, while compared to sham, while for avacincaptad pegol, we don't have every month data until the second year where the population was re-randomized after the first year, the treated population. So we don't have every other month data with avacincaptad pegol, but in the second year, it appeared that every month and every other month had similar benefit. So, you know, it's real world, Frank, even if you try to, so you try to start every 4 to 6 weeks, kind of, because, you know, every 4 weeks is impossible. If they have both eyes, then they may want to prefer every 8 week treatment. So I'm tending more towards less treatment if I can, because I really believe that the CNV rate is dose dependent. We saw that in pegcetacoplan trial. We also saw a lower rate of CNV in the second year of the GATHER 2 data in every other month arm. So I'm kind of in the middle. You know, if they are picking pegcetacoplan, you can treat every other month from the start. If they're want to go with Avacyn Captate Peg, all the discussion you want to have is you don't have data for every other month until second year, and then you help them make a decision. Even if you try to go every 4 weeks, sometimes it ends up 6 to 8 weeks in the real world, especially if they have bilateral disease, which impacts them more.
So Arshad, you mentioned CNV induction in the fraction of patients. Other potential side effects you would be discussing with your patients at all?
Yeah, so I think CNV is a side effect that both drugs have. The other side effects that we discuss, obviously, is intraocular inflammation, which we have seen more in the pegcetacoplan data set. And after pegcetacoplan was launched, there was rare events of retinal vasculitis. And that number, is variable in terms of number of injections and number of patients, but it happened mainly after the first injection in most of the patients. The risk is around 1 in 8 to 10,000 patients. And if you look at, injections, is anywhere from 1 to 3 to 5,000 injections. So I think the because they're so rare, it's hard to quantify the exact, percent, but that's the number I tell the patient, that there is, a serious complication can happen in 1 to 5 to 10,000 injections, and you have to get them ready for it, right? Because, if you're treating their good eye, and if something happens, they may end up, having some irreversible vision loss. So that's why it's important. As I said, it's important to counsel these patients and discuss the risk and benefit, and then help them make the decision.
Excellent. Maybe last brief question, can you share perhaps a few pearls on real-world perspective with complement-inhibiting treatments, Arshad?
I think the biggest, most important thing is patient education. This requires a lot of chair time and explanation, because patients expect to see better when they get an intervention. This is not going to be the case. Patients get disappointed when they are worsening while they're on treatment. So I set the stage up front. And, the complement inhibitors, I don't treat the patient the same day I see them. I actually educate them, give them some reading material, and then follow them up in next month or two. If I have a patient that already has the progression documented in my clinic, that makes a conversation very easy. But the biggest thing is to look at the historical images to educate the patient, and then get the patient ready and their family ready that they're not going to have functional improvement, but rather slow down of worsening, and remind them every time you see them that, you are doing fine, but we don't have a biomarker to prove that you're actually having a treatment effect. I think the AI and other tools are going to help us track the growth in the past, before and after, and that's coming. But I think it's a very different paradigm that we are used to. But I'll tell you that even with all the risk and benefit discussion, all the treatment burden discussion, and the chair time, it's great to have an option for these patients, because they're desperate and they're actually very willing to undergo treatment. And I just make sure that I explain the risk and benefit and educate them up front. So that's the most important thing about these new treatments.
Arshad, thank you very much for these really important and extremely helpful insights for our audience here. We do hope that the Euretina independent medical education video interviews will improve your ability to effectively diagnose and manage dry AMD and geographic atrophy patients in your practice. Thank you, and until next time.